Welcome to the Passporter Moms podcast.
Hello, thank you for joining us for episode 135 of the Passporter Moms podcast, Disney and Beyond. I'm Jennifer Marks, Passporter author and Passporter mom.
And I'm Sarah Varney, Passporter news editor and fellow Passporter mom.
The Passporter Moms podcast is a weekly podcast for all travelers with or without kids. We serve up a healthy serving of tips and advice for vacations to Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, and destinations in the U.S. and abroad. So we're back, and we're recording for real this week, not in advance. So yay! It's good to be home, but it was a really nice trip too.
I'm glad. I will admit. I'm glad. Severe weather and everything, huh?
Yeah, severe weather and everything. But I'm thinking, okay, I need to go on another trip. You know that feeling you get when you come back and you're just not really ready for reality of your everyday life? You're like, I need to go to Disney or something. Disney in the fall would be fun. I want to go in the fall.
Post-vacation depression.
Yeah. Oh, wow. We all have experienced it. We've all survived it.
So. I know. There's only one cure.
To go again.
Plan another trip.
That's right.
Another trip.
Absolutely. Yep. Alexander turned 8 while we were away.
Hey, happy birthday, Alexander.
He's awesome. He's great. We made a s'more cake. It was his idea. And all that was because we didn't have a birthday cake, was marshmallows and graham crackers and chocolate and some toothpicks for candles.
Oh, you know what? That sounds pretty good to me.
It was. He was very happy, and he blew out the toothpicks just like candles. It was awesome.
I love it.
So how have you been? I haven't spoken to you in 2 weeks.
I know. Good. It's been a busy few weeks around here. I know you're not a big TV person, but there's this HGTV show called like Yard Crashers, and then there's Kitchen Crashers, and like where people just sort of come in and redo your house and then leave. And it's a little bit like that around here recently, because my parents have sort of been systematically going through my house and like doing projects. So.
They'd love to do that. I know. They love that. That's really cool. Is it cool?
It is cool. Okay. It's absolutely cool. Yes. The end result is always fabulous and makes all of sort of the hecticness, worth the while. But yeah, so far they've done, we redid Ryan's room and we redid his closet, and now we're on my office. And so I live in a somewhat unusual house because it's an older home. It was built in 1926. Mm-hmm. So I have closets that are big for that era. You know, homes that were built that long ago are typically, you know, not big on closet space.
Right.
So I have these sort of unusually large closets, but they're not...
They're not big by today's standards.
They're not effective. Like, they're just sort of a space. Like, there's not much in terms of shape. So that's the big project. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the big project we're going through, and we're putting in shelves and, you know, racks and all kinds of that.
Yeah, that makes a huge difference. Shelves and stuff. It really does. Yeah. I did that in my house when I moved in, and unfortunately the closets are now full of stuff that really should come out so that I can use my closets.
Well, that's actually the best part about these projects is all of a sudden you're going through, you know, in order to fix the closet, you have to empty the closet. So suddenly going through and you're like, why do I even own this? Why do I have this? I didn't even remember it existed. So so we've been free cycling a lot of things, and we've been donating a lot of things.
Free cycle is great.
Yeah, that's great. God, I love FreeCycle. Mm-hmm. So that's been, so we've been very, very busy. And this week it's very quiet in my house because Ryan is at his grandparents'. So it's just Sean and I sort of rattling around, looking at each other going, what did we used to do with all this free time? So Ryan's having a fantastic time and can't even be bothered to talk to his mother on the phone. I've called a couple times. He's never there. He's always off somewhere doing something. So
I know. Alexander was with my mom for the last weekend, and I called. I was missing him, and I called him, and he was too busy to talk to me. I'm like, what? But I miss you.
I'm like waving to the back of Ryan's head the other day when we dropped him off, because he's already like, he's gone. He's turned. He's going to play tennis. He's going to play golf. He's going to do something. He's not at all. My mother was like, wave to your mother. You know, as I'm pulling out of the driveway, like, bye, baby. Bye, monkey. Bye. But nothing. I'm waving at the back of his head. Nothing. Yeah. And haven't heard from him since.
Oh, I'm sure he's having a great time.
From the sounds of it, he's having a fabulous time. But,
Well, just just take heart that you have are raising a boy who's secure enough that he doesn't need to do that. You know, he feels great and he's happy with his grandparents, and see, this is a good thing. This is
exactly
a really good thing.
No problem with this kid's confidence level. He's like, see ya, bye-bye. Which is good, because they're going to be in third grade in a couple weeks, so, you know.
Oh my gosh, I know. Summer has gone by very fast.
Really fast.
Yes.
Really fast.
Okay, so what?
Which brings about this week's podcast topic. So let's get the news.
We have missed a lot of news. So what is going on? What's been going on?
It's, you know, I part of me almost feels like I should do a recap of the news of the past couple, but we'll just focus on this week's news. So sort of the biggest, you know, buzz in the blogosphere, I guess, this week to some degree, is that the executive who was in charge of the Cars Land project over in Disneyland, mm-hmm. Her name is Kathy Mangum. She was the Walt Disney Imagineering executive president in charge of Cars Land, has now moved to Disney World. And her new title is executive producer of Walt Disney World, which basically puts her in charge of all new projects. So all new attractions, all new rides. So that has really sort of ramped up the speculation that the Avatar-themed land that was announced a while back is now really starting to ramp up and is going to be coming to fruition. So
cool.
Interesting to see what that means.
Yeah, it will be.
But I've heard, you know, I've read everything from they've been floating balloons over Animal Kingdom, which is something that they use to sort of determine the sight lines for new attractions. Mm-hmm. Like if an attraction is, you know, slated to be 45 feet high, they put a balloon up for 45, see what it'll look like type of thing. So, you know, based on sort of all of those types of observations, people are speculating that the land is going to be located where Camp Minnie Mickey is now.
Which doesn't surprise me at all, because in recent years, that land was never really utilized that well. And one of the attractions is closed completely, and it's very quiet over there.
Yeah. I guess that was originally where, when Animal Kingdom was originally developed, there was the Beastly Kingdom, which was supposed to be part of it, which was never developed. And I guess that's what that was planned for. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so we'll be interested, you know, it'd be interesting to see what happens and as this sort of moves from, you know, the blue sky phase on into actual reality. So. Mm-hmm. But progress being made there since Cars Land is now up and running and all that good stuff. And then Bistro de Paris, which is the sort of more formal restaurant upstairs in the pavilion in France at Epcot's World Showcase, is basically getting a complete overhaul.
Good.
Yeah. 25 years. It's time, you know. Yeah. So it's going to still be a classic French menu, but it is going to be a less formal setting. So a little less stuffy, no more tuxedos for the waiters. The colors are going to be slightly brighter and more inviting. And then this is, I think, is the big news for sort of most people, is that Boulangerie Pâtisserie, if I'm probably butchering that, but the bakery in Paris is going to reopen, but it's going to reopen in a new space.
Really?
And the new space is going to be expanded. It'll have a wood oven for baking bread, and it'll have an expanded menu with sandwiches and salads and all kinds of things. And then the existing space where the bakery is now is going to become an ice cream parlor.
Wow, interesting. Well, you know, that really, I think that those are, that seems like great changes. Bistro de Paris, so many people have never even been there. They don't really know about it. It's just really, it's really quite small, and it's really quite expensive. So, you know, in fact, just recently I was looking for a photo, and I couldn't. In our 20,000 photo archive, not one single reader had ever submitted a photo of it.
Yep.
It just goes to show how little, you know, frequented it is. And, you know, the Boulangerie, wow. We all love that place, and it's way too small right now. So that's great that they're going to expand the menu, and hopefully it'll be.
And one of the adjectives that was thrown around by the Book Hughes family, who is the family that runs Bistro de Paris, it was affordable. So hopefully that will be prime, you know. Dining. I heard the word ice cream shop and stopped listening. So
Well, that's great. I love going to France when I watch Illuminations. I love to go there and get a snack, so that sounds perfect.
I mean, because ice cream is pretty much my favorite thing on the planet.
Is so it? I didn't know that.
Oh, big ice cream person. So the fact that the Grand Marnier slushy and the new ice cream shop are like in close proximity.
You don't have to go anywhere else. You can just hang out there all afternoon.
is that? That's it. You're looking for me. I'm in the France Pavilion. That's it. Je peux passer, c'est parfait. It's, yeah, I mean, yeah, that's where I'll be. That's where I'll be. Anyway, so, and last but not least, the Walt Disney World Moms panel is accepting new applications in September. Now, I love that they've made this announcement but not told anybody when. What happens every year is they make the announcement and then there is like this, so many people apply for this. Mm-hmm. So many people apply. And then the servers crash and nobody can get in and it's like a big thing. So they're giving the information out in tiny little dribs and drabs. Like, mm-hmm. Yes, we're going to be accepting new applications. Okay, we're going to be accepting new applications in September. Okay, maybe someday we'll tell you when. Like, it's very limited pieces of information. So, all we know at this point is that at some time in September, the Walt Disney World Moms Panel will be accepting new applications. And in particular, this year, they are looking to add a few new specialties. They currently have, you know, like a Disneyland mom, and they have a Disney Cruise mom, mm-hmm. and they have, you know, Adventures mm-hmm. by Disney mom. So they also want to add a sports mom, so like a mom who helps plan trips for, you know, soccer teams right. and cheerleading teams and all that sort of stuff. An international mom, you know, people who are traveling from abroad. Mm-hmm. And Spanish-speaking moms cool. is the other specialty they're looking for. And moms, we should mention, they are using moms yeah. as the general term because there are plenty of dads.
That's right. Absolutely. As anyone who listens to our podcast knows, because we've had some of them on here. In fact, we had a whole podcast with the Disney Mom Panel Dads.
Yes. Yeah. And, cool. If you're interested, there are some restrictions about, you know, who can apply. Mm-hmm. Jennifer, for example, can apply. I can't. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you're a travel agent, you're, you know, unfortunately forbidden applying for the Disney World Moms panel. No, that's okay. I've got plenty to do. So, but good luck and, you know, we'll keep you posted. But the Disney Parks blog seems to be where they're posting all the information first. So check there. And then we have two articles, one by the wonderful, the talented Cheryl Pendry, who you heard last week on the podcast, mm-hmm. about dealing with inclement weather while you're at Disney World. What happens if it rains? What happens if it's hot?
Excellent, yes.
And then a review of the Jedi Training Academy Ooh. At Disney Hollywood Studios, which was one of Ryan's absolute favorite things on our last trip. So,
I'll bet. He's a big Star Wars fan, just like his dad.
Yes. I mean, just redid his all in Star Wars.
Oh, did you? Whoa, that's awesome.
Vintage comic show, you know, my husband used to collect comic books, so we like framed vintage Star Wars comic books, awesome. And he's got some of the big ships that we hung from the ceiling.
Whoa, really? That sounds awesome.
Wait for it. Glow-in-the-dark, life-size Yoda and Obi-Wan Kenobi decals.
Oh. Where on earth did you find those?
Toys R Us, baby. Toys R Us. Yeah.
Really?
Wow. His godmother found them at Toys R Us, and... they're up on the wall and they're hilarious because it looks like Yoda is standing on his bureau with his lightsaber and the lightsaber looks, it's so cool. They're so cool. So anyway, yes, it's all, when it's not golf in my house, it's Star Wars. And that's it. Passporter News is the weekly e-newsletter companion to the Passporter series of guidebooks. It comes out every week on Thursday. As always, I'm looking for articles, very basic guidelines, you know, looking for a minimum of 750 words, preferably no more than 1,250. You don't need to have previous writing experience. And if you'd like to contribute, shoot me an email at news@passporter.com and I'll be happy to send you the guidelines.
Hey, awesome.
Yay.
Cool. So this week we're talking about fun fall activities at Walt Disney World.
Yes, because I'm done with summer, so I'm just moving on to fall.
You know, it was just a little bit cool this weekend. When I was camping, I'm like, oh, fall's coming. It's been so hot, right? And I'm starting, you know what my first thoughts were? I know this has nothing to do with Disney. It was things like, you know that at Starbucks, they have those pumpkin lattes.
Yes.
We've talked about that thing. Every year we've had the podcast, we talk about those, but that was my first thought. Terrible.
For me, it's apple picking. For me, I immediately was like, ooh, is it time to go apple picking
yet? Know something, we've had issues with apples in Michigan because of that really warm spring we had.
I think we're going to have the same problems here in Connecticut, surely.
Well, anyways, fall is coming, yes. And there's tons of stuff to do at Walt Disney World. It's like, it almost seems like the start of like the festival season because it like kind of continues beyond fall too. But
well, if you think about it, you know, at home, fall is often when you have sort of like the carnivals and the fairs and the festivals.
Harvest festivals, yes.
Exactly, all that type of stuff. And mm-hmm. Disney is no different. They have a ton of special events that take place. So, mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Starting, you know, at the top with the Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party.
That's a big one.
That's a big one. And yes. It starts early. It starts in mid-September and goes all the way through October. And it's, you know, takes place typically, you know, 2 to 3 times per week on select nights mm-hmm. at the Magic Kingdom. And is so much fun.
So you've done it, right? You did it last year.
I have done it. Yep. Yeah. I did it with Ryan a few years ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And just, you know, I don't know what it is. I love the after-hour events at the Magic Kingdom.
I do, too. I mean, well, I'm a night owl, so I love being there in the evening, you know, and yeah. It's, like, for a special reason. It's not just that you've been there all day and you're dragging around and it's evening, but it's like you're there for a party.
Exactly.
And it's like a party. I mean, they get out all the decorations. Well, they already had them, but they get out more.
Yeah.
And then there's lights going every which way, and, you know, it just feels like a party.
Yeah,
it's like
more. My favorite is the characters all dressed in their Halloween costumes.
I know.
Because the characters, it's not just Winnie the Pooh. It's like Winnie the Pooh dressed as a mummy or Winnie the Pooh, you know, like mm-hmm. they're hilarious. Mm-hmm. Minnie Mouse dressed as a witch. I mean, all
and
kinds
they're
of
everywhere.
Stuff.
The characters are everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. And the parades are extra special.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just your normal Disney parade. I mean, your normal Disney parade is pretty spectacular to start off with. But when you've got, like, you know, the Headless Horseman running through the streets, leading it off, like, I mean, how cool is that?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So fabulous. So that's a fun event. And it's, you know, that is additional admission. So, mm-hmm. you know, unfortunately, that it is an additional expense.
Right.
But I often get asked the question, is it worth it? And for me, it is.
Yeah, I think so. I think it is. I mean, it's the only time you get to dress up in a costume.
Mm-hmm.
Because normally you can't. And you get to go kind of trick-or-treating. They have, like, treat stations set up. And you get to go around and, you know, if you're into that, that's fun. I remember with Alexander, that was the highlight of the evening.
Yeah.
Was the treat stations, yes. Yeah, so, yeah, I totally love the Halloween party. And it's worth it, so.
Yeah, although I should mention that, you know, different nights of the week are going to be less crowded. So, you know, if there's a party that's on a Tuesday versus a party that's on a Friday or Saturday, you know, you have the option of going to either one, go to the one earlier in the week. Because definitely
totally.
The weekend parties tend to be the busier ones.
Yeah, and if you go on or right before Halloween, you just have to expect it's going to be super crowded.
Yep.
So bring your patience, because you're going to probably need it.
Yeah. Although even, you know, they do sell a limited number mm-hmm. of tickets, and Disney never releases mm-hmm. exactly how many tickets that is. So they do, the events do sell out, particularly the mm-hmm. one on Halloween
right.
night.
Right.
The dates leading right up to it. Those events do sell out in advance, so plan ahead.
You know, I remember one year we went to the Halloween party and we got on the riverboat, and there was a band playing on it, you know, and they were wearing all their, like, I think they were, like, dressed as, like, mummies or zombies or something silly. It wasn't super scary, but, you know, they were in their clothes, and we went around the island, and they're playing their funky music, and it was I don't know, that was really cool. I mean, there's, like, this entertainment, like, kind of scattered around and hidden in places that you might not normally expect it.
Exactly.
And
yeah,
it's just fun.
Disney just pluses up the details mm-hmm. for events like that. I don't know what it is, but there's just something sort of extra magical about
that's
them.
That's right.
Very
okay.
cool.
Well, okay, so what's next?
Speaking of extra magic, carriage rides are something that are often offered at Fort Wilderness,
mm-hmm.
At the resort mm-hmm. and campground. But in around Halloween time, they offer haunted carriage rides. And I think you've done one, right?
I have done one, yes. It was a while ago. And the one thing I remember about it, it wasn't really that scary, which is a good thing because, you know, we've got kids with us, right? So,
right.
But it was at night. And I think I remember lots of pointing out of, like, you know, oh, there's a crocodile over there and stuff like that. In the dark, you can't see anything. The flashlights come out, and, you know, it was kind of silly, spooky, or something,
yeah.
as I recall. You know, fun,
more atmospheric.
Yes,
it was scary. Yeah.
Yes, exactly, atmospheric. Yes, I remember the moon being out, and you could see the Spanish moss, and, you know, in a way, it's kind of scary, but in
yeah.
a way, it's not.
Yeah. That's, you know, for those of us that are big chickens like myself, that's probably right about my speed. So those are really fun, too. And it's a nice sort of, you know, seasonal activity. But they
yeah.
have, you know, again, carriage rides are something that are available at different times throughout the year. There's a holiday carriage ride that goes and checks out all the Christmas lights, and there's the haunted one. And anyway, just sort of a fun thing to do. If you're there in early September and you're looking for something, you know, a little different, and you are a fan of, I'm not sure what the correct term for it is, but I believe Christian it is sort of Christian music.
Yeah. Christian rock, I think.
Christian rock, is what, that the... Okay. Mm-hmm. There is the Night of Joy Festival, which is held at the Magic Kingdom on September 7th and September 8th. So yeah. Two nights in a row. The Magic Kingdom closes early. And again, that is a separate admission, but it has sort of a host of very popular... music groups, and it's a very, very popular event.
Yes, it is. I've never been to it, but I've heard really good things about it from those who've attended.
Yeah.
That they really enjoy. So if that's your thing, then you probably would really enjoy it.
Yeah, it gets great reviews every single year, and I know people are really enthusiastic, and it always seems like, they're getting, there's groups that even I have heard of, and I, that's not my particular frame of reference for music or religion, but even groups that I've heard of.
Right,
so.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they've been doing it for quite a while. I can't remember if they had started even before I started doing Passporter, but it's been a while now.
Been around for a while now. Mm-hmm. So, and it seems to be, I know in early on it seemed to be a somewhat older crowd, and I know now it is sort of specifically geared at young adults.
Right. Yep. Yeah, the Christian rock is a big genre of music.
Yeah. Huge.
Yeah, it is. Yes.
Yeah. So that's a lot of fun, too. But next up is my favorite fall event at Walt Disney World, and I'm already trying to think how I can get there for it this year.
That must be the Food and Wine Festival.
No, it's the Food and Wine Festival. I love me some food and wine. Well, the wine part, but I love the food part. So.
You're allergic to wine, but the food part, yeah.
The food is really good, though. Food is really good.
It's been too long since I've done that one. I love that one. You just eating your way around the world and all these new tastes to try out, and they don't cost that much, just to try a little bit of this thing you've never heard of before, but sounds interesting. Yeah.
And it's so great. Every year, new countries are represented. Mm-hmm. It's not just the same booths year after year after year. Every year, there's new booths and new foods and new events. This year, they're partnering with HGTV, and some of the HGTV, TV personalities are going to be there doing the seminars, similar to the way they do at the Flower and Garden Festival, but this time it's going to be sort of cooking inspired. And it's what I love about it is it's never just one little thing. It's never just, we're going to set up some booths and you can try some new foods. It's it's concerts and it's seminars and it's events.
That's
and
right.
It's great new foods from, all kinds of countries. And I just,
And they do the Eat to the Beat concert series during that, right? Yeah.
Night in the America Gardens Theater on weekends, I should say. It's not every single night, but I believe it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
And they have some really cool bands coming through there.
Yeah.
Ah, I know. It's neat.
Yeah. Tons of fun. And then, there's also there's a Wine and Dine half marathon that takes place.
That's right, there is.
As well. So, and let me tell you, if I'm ever going to do, if I'm ever silly enough to do a half marathon, and by the way, that's not silly because I think other people are silly, but for me, it would be silly because, I'm more Winnie the Pooh and less Tick. if I'm ever silly enough to say, I think I'll run a half marathon, it's going to be that one.
It is. Why? So that you could then, party afterwards?
There's food involved. There's food involved. And frankly, if you're going to get me to run that far,
you're going to need some food?
I'm going to have to be drunk or I'm going to have to be, there's going to be some type of motivation involved.
Oh my gosh. That's funny.
Too much fun. Too much fun. And then last but not least, the Festival of the Masters, which is like this little known hidden gem at Downtown Disney. Nobody ever talks about it.
But it's awesome. I usually just kind of sort of forget that it's going on and I stumble across it. Yes. And they have these amazing chalk art masterpieces, from Mary Poppins, how they, it's just, they're all over and they're amazing. Yeah. Have you seen them? Yeah.
I have. They're fantastic. Yeah. I actually really love that event. And Downtown Disney is a place I think that oftentimes gets overlooked for entertainment value. A lot of the times there is great entertainment available.
And, it's free. You don't have to have admission to go to Downtown Disney. So it's a great place to go on your first day or your last day before going to the airport.
And just, don't forget to look around. So the Festival of the Masters all pretty much takes place on the ground.
That's right.
But even with Festival of the Masters, it's not just, the chalk artwork that is around. Oftentimes there are artists doing signings or hosting events or doing meet and greets. And really it's, it's just it can be a fantastic way to spend an afternoon.
Yep.
Learn a little something. So.
Yeah. Do we know the dates of that? Looking to see if I've got a book nearby here. I think it's in November usually, right?
November, yeah. Mm-hmm. In November, I can get the dates really quick. Festival of the Masters 2012, November 9th through the 11th this year.
Cool. So over the weekend, I'm sure. Good. Yep. Cool. Well, that sounds like, are we missing anything?
Probably.
I mean, you know, we start then talking, I guess you could start talking about Thanksgiving, but then that's sort of getting into holiday stuff. So I
drew the line at the first week of November.
Yeah, I think that this covers it really, really pretty quite well. So
it's such a fun time. You know, fall is a fantastic time to go to Disney because the weather mm-hmm. is great. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it's not too cold. It's not too hot most of the time. It's not super rainy, you know.
Food and wine festival is going on for most of it. All right, cool. Well, then let's move on to the community corner. We don't have any listener celebrations this week, so please send in your celebrations.
What is that?
I know. But we have a contest winner. It's Auntie Keiki. Isn't Auntie Keiki the woman at the Polynesian? Wasn't she like in the luau? Oh, whatever. Anyways, that was a long time ago. Does that sound familiar to you? It's Auntie Keiki, and it's AuntieKeiki. So if you're listening, Auntie Keiki, send an email to podcast@passporter.com to claim your gift certificates. And then we have three questions from readers. The first was from Asuka, and she writes, "Hello, everyone. I just had a couple questions about birthday celebrations at Disney World. One, does it have to be your actual birthday to celebrate it at Disney? And two, if it doesn't, what is the proper protocol for wearing a birthday button? Do you wear it for one day or for the whole trip? Thanks for the help." Well, from personal...
I love this question. I love that somebody is actually
asking the question. Yes, that's very...
I love the manners involved in this question.
Exactly.
Really,
it's very considerate. In my personal case, we have celebrated. My general rule is your birthday needs to be near your trip, but it's a lot of people don't schedule trips right on their birthday for very good reasons. So if it's, you know, if it's nearby, we will usually say we're celebrating a birthday, and in our case, we'll get a birthday button, and then it's up to the person whether they want to wear it for their trip or they want to wear it for a day or just for an hour. And I've seen people do all of those within just my little traveling parties. There are no rules.
Is no particular Disney protocol, so to speak. Now, if your birthday is in June and you're going in January and it's not a birthday that involves a zero,
then you're stretching it.
It's pushing it, but it's still your call.
It's your choice. Yep.
I like Jennifer sort of feel like if it's within like a month in either direction, you know, Ryan's birthday is in the middle of April. We went the first week of May. I let him wear the birthday button because instead of a party, we were going to Disney. So he didn't, you know,
you're absolutely celebrating his birthday.
Completely legitimate. It was a birthday celebration, you know, and he wore that button. I'm surprised he didn't try to stick it on his PJs. He wore that button every day for the whole trip. So, and I was perfectly fine with that. So.
Yeah, so it's kind of up to you.
Exactly. It's your call, whatever you feel comfortable with. You know, there is no official rule.
Right. So. Okay, our next question is from Hildai, who writes, "We have been lucky enough to book 3 deluxe family cabins with verandas for the Disney Dream in February for my family of 4. My... it's abbreviated DDSIL, which my dear daughter's sister-in-law,
I think it's just your sister-in-law, I'm guessing.
Okay. Group of 4 and my other sister-in-law's group of 3. We would like to add one niece who is 15 to the cabin that has 3 people in it. But the Disney Cruise Line website keeps telling me that there is currently no availability. The crazy part is all our cabins are 4A category, meaning they'll accommodate up to 5 people. When I've called Disney Cruise Line, they told me to keep checking for an open spot. Has anyone else ever had this happen? It would be wonderful to bring her niece along since she's very close with my daughter, and they would have a great time together." Well, the thing you have to remember is that if they filled up all the staterooms with all the availability that they, you know, they could go up to 4 or 5, they would be way over the ship's capacity. So it doesn't work that way. It isn't just how many people will fit into a stateroom. Their capacity is lower than that, and the room right. capacity is higher to allow for, you know, different size groups and stuff like that. So so it doesn't work that way.
it's also the age. Because of the kids' clubs, to maintain counselor to kid ratios, they cap the number of children in each age group that can be on the ship at any time.
Yep.
So it may also simply be that there simply is no more room in the teen clubs for a 15-year-old.
Exactly. So they're right. Keep calling back to see if a spot opens up. Sadly, I know that's frustrating. Doesn't make sense, but it is how it works. And
yeah. The good news is, if they're not cruising until February, you know, people have until 75 days prior to cancel. So, you know, it may be a few more months before people really start canceling. Mm-hmm. So there's, you know, plenty of opportunity, I think, probably
that's
between
right.
now and then to get her on.
Yep. And you might want to, Sarah, you know if this is a better idea, but, you know, calculating those cancellation dates in advance and calling on those days, because that's when people may, you know, cancel, they'll go up to the last minute or whatever, and call then, so that if there's a spot that opens up, you know, you can be there.
Yep. Yeah, you want to start calling. You want to call around the 90-day mark, because that's when, you know, sort of castaway club members and all that sort of stuff can make their arrangements. And so if they're not going, they'll probably cancel before then. You know, and again, around 75 days. So that's going to be around, depending on when you're going in February, you're looking October-ish.
Right.
So
right.
Keep trying.
Yep, keep trying. You'd be surprised what opens up. All right, now last question is from Coop. This is a silly question. Yes, I do collect stuffed animals. My boyfriend bought me a very large, very floppy Eeyore on my first trip, and I have been getting a stuffed animal on every trip so far. A 24-inch stuffy, a 17-inch stuffy, well, you get the picture. We drove every other time so these guys would ride in the car. I told a friend that I would probably be bringing a Duffy with me on the plane, because I know we will be adding it to my collection, and she said, be careful, they may take it away from you, especially if it is big enough to open, put some contraband in it, and resell it. Seriously? It's Duffy! What about little kids who need their security fluffy? Call me naive, but who would do that? So, can I buy another stuffed animal and bring him home with me in my carry-on, or not? So, I did a little research, and as it turns out, in May, someone hid a gun in a Captain Mickey!
What?
I know! Someone had a gun. They separate into three parts. Like, I'm not really good on guns, but like, you know, magazine and...
Oh, jeez, I don't know.
Okay, yeah, you know, the stuff of a gun.
Gun parts,
yes, gun parts. So it wasn't a loaded gun or anything like that. It was taken apart. And they put it into a teddy bear, sewed it up, and they put other part, other half, whatever, into a Captain Mickey and sewed it up. And of course it was caught, thankfully, you know. I'm really, really glad that they caught it. And but, yeah, so they're going to be checking for that.
But well, I think her question is, you know, is it not allowed? No, of course it
is allowed.
It has to go through security just like all your other carry-ons.
Exactly. So
so it will be taken away from you as you go through security. It will have to go through the X-ray. And it does count towards your carry-on allowance.
Right.
So it's most airlines, it's one personal item and one carry-on. So if you have a purse and the animal, that's it. There's no additional carry-on that you'll be allowed to have. So
and if it's a smaller Duffy, I don't think you're going to have a big issue there. You should be able to, you know, put them in your bag or... Maybe he'll fit in the overhead compartment. I mean, he's not going to be that big, right?
Small enough. In a perfect world, really... he fits right in your bag and you call it.
Yeah, so I think the person who made this comment probably saw that news report and saw the Captain Mickey and is thinking about Duffy. But yes, you can. I brought stuffed animals, and so is Alexander.
Absolutely.
So, just look with the X-ray machine. You have to just assume that. So you can always, if you're worried about it, you can always stick them in your check luggage, too. Stuffed animals smush pretty well. So, but I think that you'll be fine.
Yeah, highly squishable.
Yes, highly. And that's it. If anyone out there would like to hear their question answered on our podcast, send an email to podcast@passporter.com. Cool. All right, new coupon code, because we've had the same one for the last 3 weeks. since I've been away. All right, so this week's coupon code will be FALL, just F-A-L-L, all lowercase. You type it during checkout at PassportStore.com to get 25% off of this price. Mini Passporter, which of course includes the new cruise guide that is in pre-order right now.
Yay!
So here comes the question I ask every week. What are we doing next week?
Next week we have a special guest, Mary Kramer, who's going to be joining us to discuss multi-generational cruising, going on a Disney cruise when you have grandparents and parents and kids and all kinds of group cruising.
Cool. Awesome. Well, that's our show, folks. Thank you for listening. Join us next week for more news and the answers and our special guest. And listen to our podcast at passport.com/podcast. Talk to you next week. Thank you.